Welcome to Uniquely Loved, a celebration of authenticity and divine inspiration. We are encouraged to be our own unique, authentic selves. Join me, Tech Witch Nikki, as we discuss spiritual gifts and skills we can develop and enhance, speak with amazing people using their skills in a variety of ways, and explore the different ways to connect to the wonders of the universe. Hello, my loves. I have a special treat for you today. I would like to introduce Tessa. Tessa Lynn Auburn is a feminine energy mentor and soul connection coach for women and a podcast host. Excuse me. Her mission is to help spiritually inclined women increase their divine connection to the universe and their soul, to bring themselves and their voices into the world by freeing themselves from traditional systems, reigniting their soul fire, and breaking through spiritual plateaus so that they can experience newfound freedom and magic that fills their hearts and fulfills their dreams. Tessa is a certified life coach with a background in healing and decades of experience leading and designing live and virtual events. Now, Tessa helps introverted women and women of substance to create the life that they truly want while maintaining and deepening important relationships and saying yes to their soul. Tessa, thank you so much for being here today.
You're so welcome. I'm excited.
I am too. I'm feeling a whole lot of very light and bubbly energy.
Yay! Yeah, I'm just going to say, years ago, I had an acquaintance, and when I was living in Sedona, who did these sort of readings based on your information, you know, your basics. And the message that he had for me out of the whole thing, the bottom line was, I just need to keep focusing on what's going to make me bright and happy. And then life is good. And, you know, at the time I was like, what? You know, I'm so serious. I'm deep. Like, I'm in pain. I'm, you know, I have so many things to offer. But it really is that bright and happy place that is so much fun. And that I'm glad you're feeling it. I think it is here and spirit's here with us.
Oh, yes, definitely. And I absolutely love that. And that you fully embody that now. That's great.
Exactly. And that's what my journey has been about. I think it is for many of us, right? It's about the embodiment of our truth, of our essence, all of our essences, right? So we've got so many facets, and to recall those and to get them singing together again. And we can't help but smile.
Oh yeah. When we're in alignment with our heart and our soul, it's just, everything feels like it's all right. Even when things are going wrong, we can still just be like, I got this. I can do this.
Exactly. Because we all know life is just going to dole out whatever it doles out. And sometimes it's something we ask for. And sometimes it's just what I think of like as a collision of co-creation. It's just stuff that's going to happen just because of the odds. And if we can just step back and say, all right, I have the resources. I know I've got the resiliency. I've got a whole team of amazing power animals and spirit guides on my side. Like, I'll be okay. I am okay.
I love that. And anytime we go through any change, like you said, even if we're the ones co-creating with it and saying, hey, this is change that I want, it can get a little scary.
Yes. Yes, it can. And, you know, it's so funny. I think when I'm working with clients, I hear this a lot. They're like, oh, but you do it. It's so easy when you do it, you know, or it seems so easy. And then they have this tremendous expectation on themselves that it's going to be super easy. It's suddenly the light's just going to go on and boom, it's all just flowing. But that was not my life. That was not the journey, right? The journey getting to where I am. And I mean, this wasn't just yesterday, but, you know, a number of years ago, I started to come into that really gracious place and myself. And I was like, finally, like the tipping point, you know, I felt like there was just enough that, and my consciousness had shifted enough that I was able to kind of get it and chill and then use all the gifts and the skills and all that stuff in new ways. But up until that point, there were many ups and downs, and there were all kinds of challenges, you know, from some of the more esoteric stuff, like okay, I gotta share this. So going to a retreat, I was taking a healing program. I was in a long-term program, and learning all kinds of like energy skills and things like that, and was really helpful. I learned a lot of things, like the sort of skills that say like places like the Berkeley Psychic Institute teach and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And I think we were in the second or going into the third day. And when I got home that night, suddenly like something just grabbed me in my back. And it just felt like stabbing, and I could barely move. And I hadn't done anything. I was sitting in a chair, you know, walking around, having food, snacks, and doing some wonderful meditations and things like that. And it was just really intense. So I was doing my self-care, trying to solve it, this, that, and the other, and nothing was working. Because I was not a stranger to having, you know, physical things show up. That's been a big piece of my journey. And I barely made it. I almost was like not going to go back the next day, because I was like, how am I going to sit there? How am I going to do this? And thankfully, the people there, not just the instructor, but some of the other really amazing women who were in that space, it was a small group. Like the information just came in that was not present time. That was not a present time problem.
Ooh,
a past trauma. Right. And it was about persecution for being a witch, a shaman, a healer. Right. Mm-hmm. And it was misunderstood many years ago. I don't have, you know, a particular memory of that, but I do have a knowing. And I know that I've been through something along those lines, which is one of the reasons when there was some movie that came out years ago, and I was in my late teens, and I saw this movie where women were being tortured, and it was too much for me. It was just sent me over the top. I literally had to stop watching, and like it was at a drive-in of all things. Like I was supposed to be making out, you know, with some guy, but the trauma was there. It was very real for me, and I could never understand why that was so hard for me to watch, in particular, amongst all the other things that are difficult in life. And so when this showed up in the workshop, thankfully I was able to receive a healing and release it, but it was something that was stuck, not just like a past life thing. Like it wasn't about my personality or the specifics of saying, because I don't know what it was. I don't know if I was burned, but it didn't feel like burning. It felt more like stabbing, right? Mm-hmm. And something along those lines. And these things aren't just kept with us like through karmas. I think they're kept on a spiritual timeline, right? So sometimes there are those traumas that just hang out, and they're there for a reason. They're there to teach us something. And maybe I had it so I could just be here today and say to you and to your listeners, you know, stuff, we experience stuff and we don't always know what it is. And that's all right. But we don't want to make ourselves feel bad about it or wrong or stop ourselves. We want to get really curious and ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So people can come to you. People can come to me for help, but they've got to ask for that and have somebody on their team who's caring and who's going to hold that compassionate space and non-judgment. Right?
Oh yeah.
So if we can just keep going with the releasing of trauma, then we can step into our greatness, and we can have the joy there, even though we have the memory of something else.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't hold us back, and it becomes easier and easier to become courageous and Some people might say fearless. Some people think I'm fearless, which is not true. I have plenty of fear, but I go through it and I use it to learn from,
mm-hmm.
right? And to choose, to continue to choose to live into my gifts. And sometimes I don't even know what the particular gift is going to be that I bring to the forefront, because we all have more than one. Like, we don't just have one little gift. It's an amalgamation, right? And it creates an alchemy. And when all of our stuff comes together, it's like hearing a beautiful opera or symphony. All the parts are working together.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then people experience magic. And so do we.
I know my gifts came in very, very suddenly after I quit drinking. And my sensation of feeling energy was one of the first ones after I finally accepted the fact that I could feel emotions. And that freaked me out. It's like, what? Why am I feeling heat? Why are my hands tingling? What the heck is going on?
Oh, interesting. Yes. Like, is there something wrong? Do I need to go get a neuro exam or whatever? Yeah.
It's like, I do have a pinched nerve, but it doesn't affect a lot of the areas where I feel the sensations of the energy. And I had to do so much research. I was just like, oh, that's what's going on. And it took me so long to figure it out and finally understand. It's like, I don't need to be scared.
That's great. I'm glad you were able to work through that and realize that you didn't need to be scared. There can be so many little things along one's journey that by our very natures, we want to just, you know, protect, pull that blanket up over us or hug our little snuggly. And that's okay to have that reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And then we want to just keep breathing through it and call in. Like, I think for a lot of people that I work with, they need to know they're not alone when something like that is happening,
mm-hmm.
right? They need to remember that they can activate their team, that they can listen. They can say, hey, I need to know you're there. You know, do you have any guidance for me? Or just hold my hand right now. And when they remember to do that, then it's easier, right? Then the self-soothing can come in and the breath and all of that stuff. But for very sensitive people, which I am one, of course, there's no judgment around that at all. It is important, I believe, to actively communicate with our teams to say, I don't want to be doing this alone. I want your support. I want to know I'm safe and that my soul is safe and my spirit is safe. And I, you know, need to know I'm loved, maybe. Like, I think that's probably how I had framed it originally, was that I felt loved, right? And my original team of loving beings was a team of beings that I met when I was like 5 and a half. And I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know that that's what that was. I had to look at it again later when I was an adult. I had an adult brain and I could say, well, what was really going on there? But when I was about 5 and a half, I was in a dysfunctional family. It didn't feel safe most of the time. And nobody was snuggling us into the bed at night. And, you know, they were just like, let them cry it out. You know, sure. And so I had these dreams. And I remember this one dream was really intense. It was scary. Like, I was in the dark. It felt like there were scary creatures all around me. I was terrified. And then I got this message, like, there's a light, turn on the light, you know? And I had, suddenly there was a flashlight. And so I had this flashlight and I look around. I was in like the journey of the center of the earth, right? Way down somewhere in some inner world. And when I shone the light, this, I could see this creature, but it was friendly. It was a friendly creature. It was an elephant. It was so, it was like, you know, it was really talking to me, but it was, I could tell like, oh, it's nice. It's here to help me. And then I shone the light. And so when I would take that light and shine it around, suddenly the friendly power animals, the spirit guides were there. And I had this whole little entourage with me down in the, wherever we were in the center of the earth, trying to find our way out through. And there were still stuff going on, but they were there. And the, and so there was something around that whole message for me that has stuck as part of my mythology in a way, right? It's part of my story and my the symbolism for connecting with spirit, and also for who I am and what I'm doing here, which is to shine the light, right? Illuminate things. And my name, Tessa and Terry, you know, you can't find this. This is an interesting thing. Years ago, when the internet was first around and there were books, I read more books back then. I looked up, what does my name even mean? You know, and I was born Terry and then changed it to Tessa. They're in the same family. It's the same name. And it means bearer of good fortune, right? So it's like shining that light. And now though, you can't find that. You cannot find that meaning on the internet. So we need to pay attention to stuff like that, folks. Things are changing.
Oh, yeah.
The narrative changes and it's not always for the better. But thankfully I got that information 30 years ago and it was still around 20 years ago. And then suddenly it disappeared. I went to look it up because I was showing somebody something. And I was like, that's weird. It's not even in there at all. It's not even close the meaning now. And maybe that's the change with newer people coming onto the planet. I don't know. Maybe there's a different meaning for the sound of Teresa or Tessa or Terry now. But the vibration I carry is that. And over the years, when doing altered brain states of meditations, mm-hmm. I've received other visions, if you will, images of that light shining either from within me and going before me and illuminating a path, or the literal flashlight, you know.
That's awesome. Now, looking back on that dream, were the beings that you were scared of, were they still your guides, but they were scary only until you shone the light and were like, oh no, that is an elephant and he's friendly?
No, there were actually other ones there that were scary.
Okay.
They were less embodied. Somehow they were more disembodied. I think they were trying to keep me in fear and trying to shut me down in certain ways and to, like, just keep re-traumatizing me. But then my team showed up. And then there was that lesson in that, you know, that the light is always present. We just have to turn. And somehow I heard it turn on the light. And I'm like, a light? I'm like in a cave. 5.5-year-old brain couldn't figure that out. But then suddenly there it was in my hand. I'm like, turn on the light. Oh, you know, it's so amazing to be in this little parade of protectors. And that was the whole dream. Like, they took me wherever I needed to go. And I woke up feeling just fine. And then it took me years to figure that out and understand that I actually was with beings in another dimension, mm-hmm. right? And shamans call, or anybody studying that methodology, that it would be the non-ordinary reality, right? It's mm-hmm. another dimension of quantum being.
And you connect with your guides often now, I assume. Do you just try to stay connected all the time now?
You know, I'm pretty human. I can forget, right? So I have little examples of them on my desk. I have little fetishes and I have rituals.
Mm-hmm.
So rituals really help me. And when I don't do them, and they could take a minute. They don't have to be super long. But when I don't do them, I get more stressed. I don't feel as connected. Like I have a beautiful painting over here that's like an energy template, and it stands for a particular vibration, and it really speaks to me. And so when I glance at it, I know I'm connecting in with angel energy and calling forth the angel in me, you know? So there's that. And then I have my animal, a few of them, and I travel a lot, so I only have like two, mm-hmm. but I talk to them and I ask them for their help, because if I don't, they'll just be around, but they might not be doing much, you know. They'll be like, okay, she's fine, or we shouldn't interfere, right? The whole free will thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to wait until I put them to task. And so I read a great book years ago, and I'm going to, Jean Slater, Hiring the Heavens. And it's just this little paperback. It was fun. It just changed my whole relationship to how I participated with my spiritual team. And I'm so grateful for that read. And I can look it up and send you the right name if you want to put it in the show notes. But and across all the healing modalities that I have learned over the years, which is quite a few, there is in every single one of them, there is a piece that is about telling them what you want, right? Like some people call it theta healing. It's called like a command, mm-hmm. It's a part of the prayer or the intention setting or whatever it is, but it really, that's what's needed to activate them. So they know they can help out, and that they can intervene, that they're not like just hanging out, you know, doing whatever their spiritual work is on themselves, mm-hmm. like they're paying attention more. And we are a team. And so if I, certainly when I was doing kind of more traditional soul retrieval work, mm-hmm. in that method, one goes and meets up with a power animal, let's say, or a guide, and then that guide swims around or flies around with you, and they show you what they want to show you. I don't spend my waking hours doing that anymore, but I can connect with them still and ask, you know, for an image, or okay. I can ask, like, I'm open to hearing your guidance as I do this podcast project, for example. Or when I'm working with clients, like always connecting in with spirit. And we did that today, right? Before we started.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Taking a few moments, really connecting in and thinking about, what is, how can I be in alignment with the highest good for all concerned?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And not just how can I, but calling that in. Like, this is for the highest good of all concerned. But that's an important intention. And I think, you're a lot of the people that you work with are, you know, trying to figure it out. Like, they're like, what's this? What's this sensation? What's that buzzing in my leg? What does that mean? You know? And I think when we come back to some basics around the rituals of sacred space, one of the key ones is remembering to set that intention, you know, for the highest good of myself,
mm-hmm.
the highest good of all concerned. And if that doesn't feel right, just do the part for yourself. For the highest good of myself, I want to know more about this sensation, right? Or show me what I need to see, or tell me, right? And then give yourself a little bit of space to let that image come in, or that sound, or that knowing to drop in. And sometimes a knowing will drop in like days later for me, right? Knowings can sometimes take more time to come through the density, I think. But man, when they land, they're amazing. And sometimes I need the example. I need the real life happening.
Oh, yeah.
Occurring, right? For me to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just information. It's actual experience. It's like, oh, this is that thing. Oh, cool. Oh, look. When I see something in my divine, in my divination, and I tell a client and it's resonating for them, I get a tingle up my right leg. That's amazing. And then, so you affirm, wow, that's amazing. That's really cool. Okay, I want to experience that again. And then another client may come to you, and maybe you don't experience it with that one. And then another one comes and you're like, oh, wow, I'm getting that tingle before I've even said anything. I just had the thought that I might need to say something to them. And then you lean in and you trust it, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. And for me, sometimes if I'm holding space and trying to get information from my guides, I'll get like old memories kind of pop in. And I used to confuse it because it's like, oh, I can't turn my brain off to meditate. And in reality, it was, you know, whatever they were trying to tell me was linked to that memory, or at least what was being said or something around it. And it was like, once I finally figured that out, it was like, oh, the light bulb went off.
Exactly. Yeah. Like that's how you receive your messages.
Yeah.
Through things that you can relate to. But that reminds me of people like John Edwards and, you know, those folks, those mediums, those grand mediums who are pretty fantastic. And they see, you know, like roses, red roses mean a specific thing, and they know that, and they will stand by it hell or high water. And I've seen a couple of them do that in person, and they're like, no, ma'am, it's okay if you don't know what I mean right now, but I know that there's something around this, and it has to do with XYZ.
Mm-hmm.
And that person will be like, no, and then a day later, you know, the person's like trying to get a hold of them to say, oh my gosh, it was, my daughter called and blah, 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 blah. Right. So just like the client can't always see the connection, sometimes we can't, and we can block it. It's easy to block it because we don't want to be labeled, you know, as like a weirdo or a kook, or to experience that feeling, that dreaded feeling again, like, oh, I don't belong, my family doesn't get me, you know, they don't even want to talk about it, I can't share it with anybody, you know. So we've got to find each other.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I've been on a search for my soul family for quite a while, because for a very long time I hid everything, and the only person I was open to about it was my husband and my kids. And my husband was raised Catholic. I was like, oh crap. When I finally realized, you know, I was like, I hope he doesn't judge me. I've been judged a lot. And we'd already been married quite a few years, but it was just like, I still had that fear that I had to let go. And he's like, oh, okay, cool. You know, you're connecting to spirit the way that resonates with you. That's awesome. I was so surprised and relieved.
Oh, that's wonderful when you find those people, and they reflect back exactly what you need. That's wonderful. And
it is.
In a supportive way, not in a teachery way.
Yeah. But yeah, finding more people that get us, even a little bit, helps so much. And then it helps us just embrace exactly who we are. And then it helps others embrace who they are. And it just keeps going and sharing that light. It's wonderful.
Yes, indeed. And I think, I don't know why this is. For women, it seems to be more true than for men, most men anyway. You know, if there's something that others aren't going to like we're really sensitive to those rejections, and we don't have that as thick of skin, and I don't necessarily think we should have thick skin, but the male brain is able to compartmentalize a little bit better. And so when they need support, maybe it's just like a pat on the arm, they don't need to talk about it and be heard. And
my dog's barking. Sorry. Hopefully it won't come through.
That's okay. It was just kind of this odd little thing. Could have been a chair squeaking for all I knew. There's something around being female in a patriarchy, which clearly we still are, but it is shifting. And a necessary ingredient of that is for women to have their voice. And I think part of the problem has been women don't know how to have their voice without stirring the pot too much or upsetting others and things like that. And so there've been some, probably some old time skills that we've lost, like with centuries were lost to us of how to be in our power and to speak and to get our ideas across without polarizing people, right? Or putting people on the defensive or getting super positional. So this is one thing, part of the work that I'm here to do at this time, which is help women actually say their truth, to speak their truth, right? While remaining feminine and not becoming masculinized and not having to step into the role of the bitch, you know, just to be heard.
Right.
Right. And I'm grateful to be able to do it. I think there's just part of me is just like, oh my gosh, my heart hurts when I feel the defensive energy, you know, of so many women who want to say something, who aren't, maybe they're not even sure what they want to say yet, but they're afraid of being judged, being made wrong, of being told they're selfish, just so many judgments.
Right.
More than our share. And so I don't know what the bigger soul lesson there is for women as a whole, but I do know it is time to step up into that. If you don't know how to speak your truth, then get support with it. But don't hold yourself back anymore and just like stay in a supportive position, because that's the safe place. It's actually okay and it's safe to come into the forefront. And you know too, when people are grokking, they're really starting to own their gifts, there is that thing like they're afraid to be in the limelight, they need to stay invisible. And I get there's have been so many reasons to do that in the past, and there are also so many reasons now to come forward and to share your light and to take risks, but take healthy risks, right? Learn a few things and then go out and experiment.
Yes.
Start slowly, right? It's not about like suddenly you're grandstanding or you're suddenly running a YouTube channel or whatever your thing is. But if you have, I think if one has that urge to be like a secret urge, maybe to be a little bit of a celebritant, you know, to be in the limelight a little bit. And it's like, oh, I could do that. I could do that. Part of that may be the emotional self needing recognition to look at that and help your emotional self get what she needs. But to use that urge to say, okay, I am going to step forward, but let me do it a step at a time and not like just throw it out there and fall flat on my face. Like, because it's harder to get back from a big fall than it is a little bump.
Yes. Oh, so yeah.
I'm a firm believer of small steps get you there fast.
Tessa, I agree. Small steps lead to huge change. And it helps us just weather our little internal storms or even the big internal storms a little bit easier and acclimate to all the newness that keeps coming in.
Yeah. Rapidly, by the way, yes. I want to highlight this. The more rapid things are shifting, which they are, if you haven't noticed, things are shifting really rapidly, right, folks? All everywhere on so many levels. Our natural inclination is to try and go faster. But we want to inhibit that and actually bring in greater presence and slow things down. We don't have to buy in to the speed. It can all be moving and we can be in the center and in the calm. So whatever works for people, I think is great. Like for some people, it's like hand on heart, I'm gonna take a breath. Some people, you know, I have people writing post-its. I wish I had stock in that company, but the, you know, post-its to remember, oh, just because the world is going fast doesn't mean I need to. Oh, you think God's out there running fast? You think the universe is? No. Universe is going at whatever tempo the universe needs to go for her. And I think it's the same for us. We've got to honor our tempo, not the tempo that seems to be prescribed.
I've struggled with that. I keep telling my guides, just rip off the Band-Aid. Come on, bring it all in. And then it's like, nope, you're going to slow down. Aw.
Yes, slow down. And it took me years to understand that and why it's so important. And there's so many things around it, like that could be a whole other podcast, but I think that and the another piece for me that was clearly needed was just the continual message of lovability. You know, allow myself to love myself, allow myself to feel love, allow myself to know that I am lovable. And even if I was like, am I? Like, okay, that's just busy mind. That's old programming. And let myself feel loved. And so for me, for many years, actually, one of the things that helped me do that was another animal, which were butterflies. And that was my thing. Like, I didn't know why I was needing to imagine them, but they just kept coming to me. So I'm like, okay. And I remember in the beginning of that relationship, at first it was like, yeah, it's a butterfly. It's nice. Of course it's going to feel good. But then I was like, wait a second, let me feel what it feels like to be covered with butterflies, to have them all around. Right. And wow, that was a game changer to actually feel the love of the butterflies and to let myself receive that beautiful winged energy, you know, those little miniature angels with a lot of power, a lot of power to love and also mm-hmm. to change the grids around us. The repetition of that on a daily basis, I'm going to say close to a year and a half, made a huge difference for me in my ability to soften and to be
that is
seen
awesome.
And cared for.
Thank
so
you.
So glad I got to share that here today.
Now, where can people find you?
People can find me by going to my free gift page. It's really simple, tessafreegift.com, tessafreegift.com. And I have an activation guide there. So if they want to do that, there's a whole process. There's also a contact page there and all that stuff. And I'll be on my podcast, which launches very soon, Say Yes to Your Soul podcast. Yes. And I'm also on Facebook and Instagram. I will say and LinkedIn. And the main reason I'm on those platforms is so that I can continue to motivate and inspire others It's not where I receive my own inspiration. So you can find me there, and I have a helper who goes in and looks and to see if anybody has messaged me, because I get a little overwhelmed. But you could connect with me there, and then we'll probably take it to email and whatever seems right from there.
Okay, I'm definitely putting all of these links in the description. So anyone listening, you can click on any of them and access all of her wonderful stuff.
Yay! And
definitely take advantage of that free gift.
Yes, it's on reigniting your soul. So, or your soul fire. Lots of good stuff in there.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show today. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you too, Nikki. I'm so glad we could have this conversation and be in the healer world a little bit, and the sensitive, you know, really encouraging other women and men like us who are sensitive and trying to figure it out. You can get there. You can absolutely get there, and just keep asking your team for support along the way.
They will always support you. They always love you.
Yes. Yes, they do.
Thank you for joining me today as we explore what makes us uniquely loved. Be sure to subscribe. More adventure awaits. For more articles and to work with me as your personal guide, go to www.techwitchlayer.com. Always remember, you are accepted. You are valid. You are loved.